Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Are you ready for some football? Buffalo Bill style.
Shady's going to score! Shady's going to score! Touchdown! Touchdown! Touchdown, Buffalo! The Bills win it in overtime! Walk up top at the 33-yard line. The Bills recover. Buffalo recovers. Set! Brought down by Kyle Williams back at the 15-yard line.
Bring it. This is the pregame show. Buffalo Bills football on the Buffalo Bills radio network is brought to you by
Northwest Bank. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living.
Welcome back to New Era Field. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog in the booth with Sal Capaccio, who will join our conversation in just a moment. Bills and Panthers tonight at 7. John Murphy and Mark Kelso with the play-by-play from here in the Northwest broadcast booth. Make the switch to Northwest Bank and get back to living. Today's preseason game presented by Medai College. Their students are empowered. Beautiful weather for the preseason opener. Bills home tonight at Cleveland next Friday night. Then Cincinnati is here the following Sunday, and the preseason ends in Chicago on what I think would be 3 weeks from tonight. No Detroit on the preseason schedule. Does it feel different? You think it won't be until that week that it feels different, Bulldog?
It's there's a cloud hanging over the preseason.
You think it's a negative?
It's a cloud.
You're always so negative.
It's a cloud hanging over the preseason with no utterly meaningless, worst exhibition of a sporting event ever in the history of mankind repeating itself annually.
I'm excited for the possibility that it'll actually be not the worst. See? I'm glad that Detroit isn't on there. They should be glad, too. Detroit should be glad, too. Sometimes you split up, and it's painful at first, but you know everybody's better off. Haven't you ever heard the song Shine from David Gray? Sal Capaccio with us. Sal, first things first.
Hi, guys.
Hi.
Hi, Sal.
Carolina, game one, 3 hours away. Mm-hmm. Compared with other preseasons, other seasons, as this one starts, what stands out as the most interesting? I think Josh Allen is obvious here. Him and beyond him, what are you looking forward to?
You know, I think it's this whole place we're in with this team, this organization, where they made the playoffs when so many obviously did not expect them to. So now, even though it seems like on paper to many people, they may have taken a step back, yet they are pushing forward, and I think we're kind of in the real interesting spot here on where this team's going to go, because they could very well take a step back, and that would not surprise anyone. The Vegas line says it's going to be a step back, right? But at the same time, just like last year, there is a huge belief in that organization that they're going to take a step forward, and they're going to be a playoff contender, if not in the playoffs.
What is the recipe for that to happen? We know what Tyrod Taylor was and probably will continue to be in Cleveland as a quarterback. And he was pretty good for this team. Does it start there? Do I get a better passing game? I almost surely will have – it'll be a different guy, pulling the trigger, whoever it is. Does it start there? Do I get a better, a more efficient, more productive, really, passing game with somebody else playing quarterback? I mean, that to me is the first thing that has to happen.
Throwing the football, I think they'll be better. I think whoever is on the field, assuming it'll be A.J. McCarron or Nathan Peterman. If it's Josh Allen, he wins the job. I think you could say that, too, because he won the job. If it's only because, hey, they're 1-8, it'll be different. But I think the person actually throwing the football, they'll be a little bit better. They certainly will not have the dynamic playmaking ability that Tyrod Taylor was able to get them out of and give them. I also think they'll be better in scheme. This offensive line, last year, they had a lot of problems with that scheme. They had to change the scheme halfway through the year, or at least three or four games in after the bye week, to go back to a more of a power game. They still use that zone. Why did Rick Dennison get fired? It was never a match for the people they had and what he wanted to do. Whether or not the offensive coordinator is better remains to be seen. He hasn't had a good track record in the NFL, guys. He's had porous offenses as far as statistically. But I do think, from watching him at least, he's coming from a better place of where you need to be in 2018. Using the whole field, getting more matchups on the field, playing to your players' strengths. I just don't know if it's going to work because he has to call the game that way as well.
It's still run-based or run-oriented, though, right, Daboll?
Like his, I think it will be,
his
yes.
history.
It will
be. That generality about the Bills on offense won't change with this coaching change, I think. It'll still be a team that is looked at. We'll still be a team that will be one that will try to be good on the ground first.
Well, let's go back to the original question of what's the recipe to get back to 9 wins in a wild card? Run the ball and play defense, I think, for them. Limit your mistakes on offense. It is as non-sexy as it sounds. I think that's what they need to do. They need to really come up with some breaks like they did last year as far as turnovers, things like that, and try to stay in games as long as they can and then get that break wherever it comes, whether it's a long pass, a break, a broken tackle on offense, or doing something on defense. Stay in the game as long as you can. Keep it 17-16, win the game at the end with a field goal. I don't think the recipe is, hey, suddenly we traded Tyrod Taylor, we're going to score 30 points a game and blow everybody out.
Sal Capaccio with us. The pregame huddle, by the way, is what this is. You, Eminem, you pull it. Parts needed to pull it together. Segment presented by M&M You Pull It, Western New York's premier destination for used car and truck parts. You pull the parts, you save the money.
I've been needing a huddle, so I'm relieved that this is actually called that. It's nice to be a part of a huddle.
I agree. It's fun.
Yeah. So with all that in mind, Sal, do you think that the quarterbacks, whoever ends up being the starter, are
you mean for game one regular season?
Yeah, right. Yeah, but sure. I'm not that worried about tonight.
Okay.
Are going to be encouraged to take more chances than Tyrod Taylor took for this team?
I do. I think by philosophy, first of all, of the head coach and the offensive coordinator, they won't mind. I even think they wanted Tyrod to take more chances last year. Mm-hmm. Given even McDermott's personality and how he wants to win, I think the reason he put Nathan Peterman in was they weren't getting enough out of the passing game to take more chances, to loosen some things up, to allow the running game to be a little bit better and opened up. So I think they're going to be okay with that. And then simply by the nature of the quarterbacks of who they have, certainly Josh Allen would take more chances. We know that. I'll tell you, Nathan Peterman takes plenty of them. Nathan Peterman takes a lot of chances. Maybe not quite as many as Josh Allen, but he does do that. I think A.J. McCarron is actually much more in line with Tyrod than any of these three guys. But the difference is I think he's a better passer, that pure passer than Tyrod Taylor. So, you know, he might not take as many chances. But at the same time, I think that you'll get your share. And when he does take a chance, you know, he'll be maybe more apt to complete that.
Hey, we were talking last hour with a couple callers about McCarron. And it was kind of a back and forth on how optimistic it's right to be. And we've said a lot, like, well, what happened in free agency? You know, like, there was really no team that stepped up, and there were teams that were, you know, making changes at quarterback all over the league. He eventually landed here for relatively modest money. Do you read that as important, or might you read that differently? Like, when you look at how McCarron got here, do you think it's more along the lines of that the Bills really wanted him, or is it more like how we're talking?
I think it's more how you're talking. I mean, I'll go back to prior to free agency. I was not a big A.J. McCarron guy. I said, what are we talking about here? If the people who would bring him up, my response would be, well, you're talking about a guy who in 4 years, if he was that good, why was he never even mentioned to supplant Andy Dalton, who is not an elite-level starting quarterback?
Mm-hmm.
And it's fine to say he's not as good as Andy because Andy Dalton's a good quarterback. He, you know, he's done enough in this league. But I've never even heard him being mentioned as, hey, they might want to go with A.J. McCarron, right?
Right.
And to me, that's...
Or somebody's got to get him out of there.
Right.
Cleveland tried, I guess. And
that's right. That's exactly
it, but,
right.
Right.
No one really tried except Hugh Jackson at the very end.
The coach tried, yeah.
Of the last year of his contract. And how much did Cincinnati put up a fight to keep him? I mean, we have seen that teams have tried to keep backups around, you know, because he's good for the organization. Yep. Maybe eventually you'll take over for Andy, stick with us for 3 more years, whatever. So I was never that guy with AJ. Watching him out here, I see why, I think. You know, I think he's going to be a good game manager. And I've compared it this way. If I have a four-point lead with 4 minutes left, I'm going to be comfortable having A.J. McCarron as my quarterback. I am. I think he's going to do a good job to get you in the right position in the play call, you know, throw the ball where it needs to be, keep the sticks moving if you need to. If I'm down four with 2 or 3 minutes left, I don't have a ton of confidence because I don't see him as a guy just dropping back and throwing darts and really making plays to keep the first down sticks moving in urgency mode.
So how do you compare him on this team with Peterman? Like, because we all know Allen goes in whenever they think it's time, right? Unless they're winning with one of the other two, and then that just waits until, I guess, that ends. But how does McCarron compare with Peterman here, Sal? Both guys drafted at about the same spot. McCarron, more experience. Peterman, more experience with the Bills.
I think Nathan Peterman is a better anticipatory passer than A.J. McCarron. Like, when Nathan Peterman decides where he wants to go, it's out. He has a good release, a quick release. It gets rid of the ball. I think A.J. holds on to it a little bit too long. He's a better anticipatory passer. He doesn't quite have the zip that A.J. does. A.J. does have this incredible arm, but I think it's better than A.J. than Nathan Peterman's. So I think that kind of mitigates the two, right? I mean, maybe A.J. waits a second longer but can get it there. I'm still interested in what Nathan Peterman can do with his career. I'm not writing him off in his career. I don't necessarily think he's going to be a starting quarterback. I still think he can be a good backup for a team for many years. And that's what I think he's fighting for out here, is survival as a backup. He may win the starting job week one, but let's be honest, he's not the long-term solution. I think overall, what Nathan Peterman's doing in this preseason is two things. He's saying, you can put me in week one. I can win games for this team. But what he's also telling the organization is, I'm the guy to back up Josh Allen once you decide to put him in. It's not going to be A.J. McCarron. I don't want to go somewhere else to try and be a backup there. I'm the guy for this job for the next 10 years, maybe.
Do you think Allen goes in third tonight?
I do, and I think he gets plenty of snaps. I don't know, though, you know, how they'll rotate that, whether that's a full quarter, a series with the other two, but at some point when Josh Allen goes in, I'd be surprised if we're waiting till the fourth quarter, let's say that.
That's the most interesting part of the game, obviously, to me. Not to discount who one of the other two is probably the favorite to be the starter opening day.
Agreed.
Would you say it that way?
I would, as of right now.
Yeah, right. How much does what happens, how much do I want to read into the rotation tonight? How much do I want to read into how Sean McDermott handles the preseason entirely, trying to figure out what they're ultimately going to do against Baltimore on the 9th of September?
I think you don't read anything into the rotation tonight. I think the rotation tonight was preset, pre-planned, maybe a tweak here or there, how much they want to play. I think it really was about, you know, they came into camp and said, hey, we're going to do this, and by the time we get to Thursday night, August 9th, this is where we want to be, and I think they're going to stick to that. I think once we get past tonight, Bulldog, we can maybe start to read into how he handles games two and game three, if it's especially any different than tonight, and maybe how they're trending and thinking about these guys maybe long-term in week one.
Is anything different about how Sean McDermott thinks of the preseason strategy, how he rotates players, what he wants out of it, than what most coaches do? Like, is he different in any way that you can think of about this? Because, you know, I think of all teams really being it's about not showing our real plays, you know, both sides of the ball.
I don't think they're going to do that.
Keeping guys.
They'll keep it vanilla.
A good night is nobody getting hurt.
Yeah, I think that's all true. So we had a production meeting to talk about, like, what you want to get out of this, some keys. And actually, Sean McDermott said something I thought really unique to the radio and TV broadcast crews. Although not completely sexy, it was a different type of answer. He said, I just want to make sure we have 11 guys on the field every play. And, you know, he kind of laughed. He said, I know, but it's true. And look, I do. I think that's something that when you think about Sean McDermott, he's all about the very basic fundamentals and making sure everything is in line. You can't get to step C until you really have A and B down, right? And for him, A and B is have the right people on the field knowing their job and not having for me to look behind me and scream to number whatever to get the heck out there, right? I mean, that's really important to him. And he even laughed and said, I know that sounds weird. I said, I think that's unique and different. You don't hear coaches talk like that. We all talk about fundamentals. We all talk about not getting hurt, things like that. But I want to make sure I get 11 guys on the field. I want to make sure that, like, they know what they're doing, that they're supposed to be there.
Right. I think, you know, something that maybe I don't often think a lot about when you've got a quarterback battle is something as simple as the quarterback's competence getting the play right in the huddle. Like being able to in and out of the huddle crisply, like it, not being confused by what the coordinator is telling the quarterback in the headset before you get in the huddle, like all that sort of stuff. I wonder how much that weighs on this competition as he's trying to make a decision ultimately on who starts.
Totally, Bulldog. I think it weighs a lot in this decision. I'll use the word I used yesterday. I think to Sean McDermott, the operation of the game tonight is more important than the game, if that makes sense. How my team does all of those things is kind of secondary to really how we play. It's really important how we play. But how we do all those things, if we're doing those things good, I can correct missed tackles. I can correct drop passes. I can cut guys. I can figure out the right personnel. But I want to make sure that my middle linebacker, who's 20 years old, can get that play call in his ear, get it to the guys in his huddle, get everybody lined up in time before the snap. That, to him, is super important. And by the way, it should be. I think that's important to Tremaine Edmonds and everybody else on the team.
And I'm waiting to ask you about Edmonds. Like, how about him in this role? Do you think, like, he's going to handle a lot of that for them as a rookie, as a young rookie at that? So far, are the signs either way whether he's up to it?
So far, Mike, but, I mean, this setting is a little bit different. The coaches aren't on the field. They're not going to be stopping the play. Not that that happens a lot at training camp, but at least you have the ability to, right? I mean, here you have 12 guys. There's a penalty. If you're not set and guys are running around, you're going to get beat for a touchdown. So far, so good. What I really liked is he has not seemed like he's wilted in any moment. He has to cover LeSean McCoy a lot. He's made really nice plays both against the run and especially against the pass that I think have flashed in training camp. And I think he seems to me, every time I talk to other players, he really has a lot of respect from his teammates, especially the veteran teammates. I think they very much appreciate his work ethic, his approach, and what he knows he doesn't know and is trying to learn, if that makes sense.
What else is unsettled on this team?
Starting center is a big one. And I'd like to see something get settled for that, maybe even before quarterback, because those guys working together is so important. You know, getting the line calls, getting the chemistry with that five together, that might be more important to get that before the next game or the third game, even before you have the quarterback, so you can then have all those things set. Clearly, everything at wide receiver behind Kelvin Benjamin and Jeremy Curley is wide open. I mean, from the third guy to the seventh guy or whoever we're going to call there. I think third running back, although Travaris Cadet to me seems like he is the guy. And then there's an interesting battle going on behind Charles Clay. This is wide open. I could see any of those guys behind Charles Clay making the team as the two or even getting cut, to be honest with you. Even Nick O'Leary or Logan Thomas.
Keith Ford is on the running back depth chart. I think he's the only running back here that has no NFL experience. Because the Bills have a collection of guys who played for them last year, Marcus Murphy being another.
Tywan Jones, yeah.
Tywan Jones. So Keith Ford, like, it's kind of cool in the preseason when you have, and it's often happened in my mind, that, like, there's a running back who plays the fourth quarter and looks fast. And, like, you got to see this guy.
Right.
Like, is maybe Keith Ford not that guy? Or, like, is he interesting at all?
I don't know about fast. He looks good Friday night. I watched him Friday night from up here. I was sitting with Murph. And he had a couple runs where I'm like, "Wait, I don't think you want to get in front of that guy." Like, once he gets going, he gets going. And I like the way he looked. I think tonight is going to be a nice test for him. Last year, can you name the running back that had the most carries in the preseason opener?
probably not. No, I don't even think I.
Joe Banyard.
We'll come close.
Joe Banyard.
Remember that name. So maybe that's your Keith Ford. So I look at that because obviously the same coaching staff, maybe they handle those guys in the same way. I would expect Keith Ford to be a guy who touches the ball tonight. We can see what he can do. But, you know, Mike, I at the end of the day, I can't see him supplanting Travaris Cadet. They're going to probably keep Tywan Jones because of his special teams ability. And I think beyond that, you're looking at Keith Ford as a guy that, unless he really comes out and makes you say, I have to keep this guy on my team for some reason, he's probably more of a practice squad candidate of that.
Do you think McCoy plays?
He didn't last year first preseason game at all.
What I remember about that game is a series of passes to Sammy Watkins.
That's right.
Hey, look at this. They're proving that Sammy Watkins is ready for action, and then he was traded.
Right.
I don't. Only because the way that Sean handled LeSean last year, and I remember this coming up last year where he basically said, look, you know, I've been with LeSean, and I have a relationship with him. I've talked with him about what he needs to get ready for a season. And then we saw LeSean not get much work in the preseason. I'd expect the same thing here.
Right.
Was it the next day? Was it a Thursday night game? And yes, then they traded Watkins the next
Watkins
day. The next
day? I just know you had – I'm sorry, I'm going to say it again. You had that day off.
I had a bachelor party to attend.
Okay.
I was at a casino when that was on the screen.
So the opener last year was on the 10th of August. That makes sense. And the 11th was the day of the trade.
No doubt. And because I remember, too – they did that, and just like tomorrow, the team practices here, not in Fisher. And last year when it happened, the trade went down, and we came here for practice, and Sammy was gone, and we had to interview all the players hey, you guys just traded Sammy. What do you think about this?
I remember you called me that morning thinking, and I had been I came from Canada.
Right.
So, you know, it took me half hour, 40 minutes to get to my house in North Buffalo. So I wasn't online. I wasn't paying attention to anything for however long. So I missed it.
Right.
Right. And so you call me and you're like, oh, you're out of breath. You're like, oh, listen, here's what's going to happen. I'm going to the stadium. I'm like, dude, why? What happened? He's like, they traded Watkins and Darby. I'm like, oh my God. Like,
right.
Spend 10 minutes on the Peace Bridge, miss a lot.
Not expecting that.
There's a Friday that you didn't have to prep for.
No, right.
Well, that's no story. Yeah.
Any clue at all, any indication on if Coleman is going to be available tonight or not?
I doubt it. Just from watching, you know, the way they handled him in practice the other day, it wouldn't totally shock me, but probably want to keep him out until next week, until he's, you know, set to get in the offense.
All right.
We will have our Geico Fantasy segment next hour at 5:20 Eastern, to be specific, with Sal, brought to you by Geico. Geico may not date back to the caveman, but they have been providing great savings and service on car insurance for more than 75 years. Saving you money is in Geico's playbook, so after the game, get a quote at geico.com and see how much you could save. Geico, so easy, a caveman could do it. 12 games in the league tonight. There will be a lot of stuff to talk about. We'll find it. 803-0550 is our number. We've got phone lines open now. Sal back at 5 as well with the fantasy segment and just more thoughts on the Bills, the game, and the season. Then Mark Kelso and Chris Brown come along for our roundtable hour starting at about 5:30 Eastern time. From New Era Field, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, your host, Bills and Panthers at 7. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
Still looking at heavy traffic on the main line of the Thruway heading westbound. It's congested from around William Street all the way down past the 400 towards the 219. 219 is a little bit busy going down towards Mile Strip. Coming down Route 5, you got heavier traffic than normal at this hour of the afternoon all the way down past Ridge Road. We're getting reports of some heavy traffic in the area. Mile Strip at South Park. We have heavy traffic right now on 28. Between Southwestern, McKinley Parkway, and Thorne. We have Abbott Road closed right in front of the stadium at this hour. This is brought to you by Karuba Collision. Make the right decision. Insist on Karuba Collision. I'm Alan Harris on the Buffalo Bills Football Network.
You know, Tre'Davious and Vontae, they got different techniques. You know, Vontae's more, you know, savvy veteran, where Tre'Davious is very quick and fast. But, you know, it's helpful to my game going against them each day because, you know, they're some of the best corners in the league. So, you know, if I could work my stuff on them, you know, it should help me out win games.
Brandon Riley right there. The music, though, as the preseason starts.
Mm-hmm.
The autumn wind is a raider, pillaging just for fun. He'll knock you round and upside down and laugh when he's conquered and won. How come we can't play them in the preseason? They're kind of cool. Where's Oakland? Too far away?
Travel. Yeah.
Oakland plays Detroit, but they're practicing together.
Oh,
like,
well,
the Detroit's been out there. I think that's right tonight. Detroit and Oakland?
Yeah.
Detroit's been practicing out there, and they just, why don't we just have a game?
Why do you go to California? Where do they have training camp?
Raiders? Napa.
Yeah, okay. Why, if you're in, your team is in Detroit.
Listen, I'll go to Napa.
Like, why are you going to California for practice? What is going on
They
there?
Called? I don't know. What Maybe they that? Called. Do we go? Like, so, God, let's say the Bills were going to Napa for a week. In the preseason, like
no,
one of those deals. Who goes? Sal goes.
Sure, Sal goes. No, we don't go.
We don't?
No. No.
No, that's right. We definitely don't go.
No. I mean, I don't know.
We don't go anywhere.
No, ever. Anymore. I mean, back in the day when we first started, we went to three Super Bowls. That's pretty much it.
It's kind of like them. Only it was four.
Right, right. That's right.
Detroit at Oakland tomorrow night, NFL Network, 10:30 game. Cool. I'd play them. It's just too far.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. I wonder what will happen ultimately to all of this, the summers, assuming Sean McDermott is here a while, whether that's something that seems like a good idea to him or not, like joint practices, going somewhere to practice with your team, at some other team's facility, ultimately having training camp here at this facility. They are doing a ton of work to the training center. That's just beginning. And I think they're hoping to have it ready for next year. The way I heard Brandon Bean talking about it last Friday was by the time free agency rolls around next year, they want to be able to kind of show it off so that it can help them in recruitment. Like, look how nice everything is here. State of the art. How many teams have better facilities than this? Like, that's what they're aiming for. I think that's aiming high, but that's what they're aiming for. And like, if you have that facility here, like, I wonder if the appeal of going 60 miles east sort of starts to dissipate here for the franchise. I mean, I don't know. It's years down the road. They've got still meat on the bone here with the agreement they've got at St. John Fisher, as far as I know.
Hey, Bulldog, everyone, grilling or having a summer party?
Sure.
Then taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats. Make your party sizzle with whole strip loins for $8.99 per pound and Federal's freshly made grill-ready kebabs, beef or chicken with veggies. You can also save $3 off a bag of Salins hot dogs and $2 off 31 to 40 count extra large shrimp. Game day and every day, Federal makes it special. Taste the difference Fresh makes at Federal Meats. So here we are venturing into Josh Allen and his first game preseason, of course, with the Bills. You can maybe think of other nights like this, whether that was E.J. Manuel or J.P. Lossman or, I don't know, even a veteran, even Drew Bledsoe. I mean, either whoever it might be.
Mm-hmm.
Do any of those moments come to mind? Like, I don't take the preseason seriously. We know that teams don't really care if they win. We know, maybe more importantly, that teams don't really care. It is important to them not to look like they plan on looking in the regular season in terms of their schemes. So we know it's like that, and I think the only right attitude to have about the preseason is injuries are bad, everything else is meaningless. So that's my thing about it. But if you think about, like, quarterbacks and some bigger occasions, if you will, through the years in the preseason, like, it's very hard for me to remember anything. Like, that's why I preface that. Like, yeah. I'm someone who does not take these games seriously, and I cannot remember anything. I can remember being at a game against Denver when Lossman played, and it might have been his first year, and thinking, well, that didn't go that well, but whatever.
It's preseason, right?
Yeah, like it's preseason. He got in and he dropped back to pass and then ran a lot. Like, he just maybe a little bit like Lamar Jackson looked against Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, do you have anything?
It's really hard. I don't to remember. I don't recall EJ's first game or really that preseason much at all. Like, being overly encouraged or pessimistic or really anything. Like, the thing of the last, you know, however many years, going back to EJ, say, or even like Fitz, the thing that stands out the most to me was feeling somewhat invested in Tyrod Taylor, because like once he got here, before the preseason even started, I got pretty fond of saying, you should be rooting for this guy. We already know what Manuel is. That's not going to work. And Matt Cassel is a journeyman junk baller. You're not doing anything. If Taylor somehow wins this job, it might be something that could turn the Bills into a very different kind of team. And so when he started playing, I don't remember what the stats looked like in that first preseason game, but I just know there was a point in time in that preseason where it really started to look like he can play. He can play. He's going to win this job. And I got excited about that. But anything else really without having had to whatever extent I'm invested in that from having had that opinion, that's the only thing I can really remember. Everything else has always just been like, you know, almost like people who call us, boy, I hope this works. You know, I hope, okay, well, that was a good pass. Okay, come on. Like, that's really what it ends up being like.
That first year with Taylor, there was a game against Carolina, and they split it up pretty evenly. We were talking about this off the air earlier with Sal. I can remember other teams sometimes for the preseason, like Minnesota a couple of years ago with Teddy Bridgewater, if I remember right, and also Carolina, maybe it was that 2015 game with Cam Newton. I don't remember whether he played, but I will get into the other team and the, you know, whoever is the biggest star or stars on that team. And by the way, on Carolina tonight, I read one article where it was said that Ron Rivera on Tuesday, the Carolina head coach, said he'd like to get 9 or 10 plays out of Newton in this game. And when I looked at an article online with their depth chart, and it was with regard to this game, it had like everybody in there, at least for a little bit.
Okay.
You've got McCaffrey, CJ Anderson from Denver at running back now. DJ Moore, I think, was the first receiver picked in the draft out of Maryland to go with Funchess here. So they're interesting. You know, they were a playoff team.
Yep.
And Newton is one of the very biggest stars in the league. You know, he's one of the top draws in the league.
I almost always look forward to seeing him play. I think it's right to say he's one of the biggest stars in the league. He's one of my favorite players to watch in the league. I really like watching him play. He's so big. He's so strong. He's such a good runner. I enjoy him a lot.
Well, probably then don't be late.
Right.
If you want him in this game, hopefully that information is correct, and we will get a look at them, you know, at least for a little bit in this game. 803-0550 is our number if you want to get a word in. Sal's coming back. Mark Kelso and Chris Brown later, too. It's pregame coverage of Bills-Panthers, which kicks off. The game kicks off at 7 tonight here from New Era Field. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog here. This is the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Excitement here at New Era Field. Later, maybe. For now, guys stretching, tossing the ball around.
Yep.
How much different will this be from the game?
Well, everyone will have helmets on. Numbers. I'll be able to easily identify players, even with my eyesight. Whereas right now, I mean, I'm largely, I'm kind of stuck. I can't really tell who anyone is. There's, I don't know, maybe a dozen or more Panthers out there. Only a handful of Bills, it seems. And I can't really make anyone out. But thanks. Back to you in the studio.
Right.
I didn't bring my, I was wearing sunglasses when I got here, and I didn't think to take them off when I got out of my chair. It was so sunny, I just like walked in here, and so I don't have my regular glasses. I just put my sunglasses on, so I'm the guy that's sitting. It's not that sunny in this room. It's pretty dark in this room we're in, actually, the broadcast booth.
Why is that, by the way?
I don't know. But anyway, I put my sunglasses on so I can see better, because I'm waiting for this Kelvin Benjamin, Cam Newton meeting we talked about earlier in the week. And I want to be able to identify you know, one or both of these guys if and when they get out here to start warming up.
Was it interesting to you that Sean McDermott criticized Benjamin?
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't spend a lot of time criticizing his players publicly.
I thought it was certainly notable. And I thought he was pretty strong about it, even. Like, he didn't really soft pedal at all his dislike for the way Benjamin handled that. I thought, anyway. I mean, he didn't rip him, but, I mean, he flat out said, I prefer we handle those things differently, and, like, that's just not how we want to do it.
Yeah, I'm not sure it's as much never say that. Well, I mean, the whole point is that it was public.
Right.
You know, I think their way, McDermott's way, is, like, just keep everything in here.
Right.
So, you know, that's not always going to be possible or be the way it is.
Yeah.
Yeah, and that was news in Carolina, too. Like, Newton has had, they've been to a Super Bowl with him, as it happens, in a season that Benjamin missed with an injury. But, obviously, like, he's been back to the playoffs. We talked earlier about, like, his magnitude, if you will, as a figure in the league.
He was MVP that year, was he not?
Maybe.
I think that's right. So, I mean, that's, you know.
But he leaves some people annoyed or wanting. There's always been the debate about his style. There's been debate about accuracy, like the player he is. He is a polarizing player.
There's some personality stuff. I mean, as much as I like him and I like watching him, I haven't liked everything that's come along with it. You know, maybe the most criticized thing he's done is the way he handled himself after the Super Bowl, and I was disappointed in how he handled himself after that. I thought he came off like kind of a baby. I didn't like that, and it always bothers me more when it's a player who I admire, like that I like how they play, and I even like some aspects of their style and how they handle themselves. When they let me down, it hurts a little more.
There was also a fumble in that game. He fumbled in that game, and, like, why didn't he dive for the ball?
Right. It looked very much like, we're losing by a lot.
Yeah.
All right? So there was that, and there was a thing with a female reporter last year that was really offensive. So there's been stuff there that even I, as a fan of his, have not really liked.
For every field goal scored by Buffalo this football season, Liberty Cab will make a donation to the Family Justice Center. Since 2006, the Family Justice Center has been providing a safe place for the victims and children of domestic violence, holding offenders accountable with the goal of giving victims options to take back control of their lives. Visit fjcsafe.org, fjcsafe.org, and share their goal to protect our community from domestic violence. Liberty Cab, passionate about protecting our community. The Bills and the Panthers in just over 2 hours as the 2018 preseason kicks off from here at New Era Field. Sal Capaccio joins us next. Mike Schopen, the Bulldog, on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.